From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. This is a special teaching edition of the podcast. I finally have in my hand the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. This is a publication of Thomas Nelson, and they did an absolutely incredible job of presentation. And at the Christian Research Institute, we not only want to produce the very best content, but marry it with a presentation that's beautiful, that helps in terms of the content. The two being married together is a beautiful thing. And this book is just that. It is absolutely beautiful. I am so pleased and proud to be able to present it to you. It is, of course, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Now, some of the answers to questions in this book are short. Some of them are a little longer. And I deal with a host of issues in this book. Literally hundreds of questions are answered. These are questions I've been asked over almost 40 years of doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast. For example, in a category that's titled Basic Christian Thought and Spiritual Growth, I answered the question, what are the secrets to spiritual growth? Under a category titled Spiritual Gifts, I answered this important question. What does Jesus mean in saying that one must be born of water and the Spirit? Christianity and Science, another category in this book, is the Big Bang biblical? Now, I'd be interested in my take on that particular question. Biblical interpretation. What does it mean to interpret the Bible literally? I'm going to get back to that in just a moment. Old Testament issues. A lot of people ask the question, who was Cain's wife? Does the Bible promote slavery? And many other questions like that. I'm not going to go through all of the categories, but I'll mention a few more. New Testament issues. Is baptism necessary for salvation? Under apparent contradictions, does the Bible begin with two contradictory creation accounts? Under religion, cults, and the occult, what distinguishes Christianity from other religions? What happens to a person who dies without ever hearing of Jesus Christ? Under discernment and aberrant teachings, what are the flaws of the health and wealth gospel? Ethics, is it ever morally permissible to lie? Under money, what's the biblical view of wealth? Under eschatology, is the pre-tribulational rapture theory biblical? What about the millennium? Questions like those are answered in that section. Under resurrection and afterlife, what about purgatory? Many other questions like that. And then final thoughts. How can I develop an eternal perspective? Eyes that can look beyond time and space into eternity. So again, hundreds of questions answered in the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. It's revised and expanded. It's beautiful. And it's available to you. Just check it out on the web at equip.org. I want to give a sampling of answers that I give in the complete Bible Answer Book. So I'll start with one that's really short. Can God create a rock that is so heavy that he cannot move it? Now, the reason I bring this question up is it's a classic straw man. But it's a classic straw man question that can have many Christians looking like the proverbial deer in the headlights. At best, this question challenges God's omnipotence. At worst, it undermines his existence. So we need to be able to answer this question. And I tried to answer these questions in three parts, and for two reasons. First, it forces me to distill the essence of the issue into a very readable and memorable format. The second reason is just that. It makes it memorable for you. So I give three-part answers to every question, a first, a furthermore, and a final. So the first answer to this particular question is that there's a problem with the premise of the question. Because while it is true that God can do anything, anything that is consistent with his nature, it is absurd to suggest that he can do everything. For example, God cannot lie. God cannot be tempted. And of course, God cannot cease to exist. Furthermore, just as it is impossible to make a one-sided triangle, so too, it's impossible to make a rock too heavy to be moved. What an all-powerful God can create, he can obviously move. God can do everything that is logically possible. Finally, we should note that a wide variety of similar questions are raised. Why? It's an attempt to undermine the Christian view of God. And therefore, it's crucial that we learn to question the question rather than simply assuming that the question is valid. Now, here's one that's a little longer. What does it mean to interpret the Bible literally? Now, this again is a very relevant question because for more than a decade, popular TV personality Bill Maher, he's made a virtual cottage industry out of ridiculing Christianity. In fact, one time he went so far as to dogmatically pontificate that the Bible was written in parables. And he went on to say that it's the idiots who take the Bible literally. But even a cursory reading reveals that Scripture is a treasury. It's a treasury replete with a wide variety of literary styles. And those styles range from poetry to proverbs to psalms to historical narratives to didactic or teaching epistles to apocalyptic revelations. And so to dogmatically assert that the Bible is written in parables, as Bill Maher does, and that those who read it literally must be idiots, as he put it, is at best an idiosyncratic form of fundamentalism from the left, and at worst, a serious misunderstanding of the literal principle of biblical interpretation. In order to read the Bible for all its substantial worth, it is so crucial that we interpret it just as we would interpret other forms of communication, and that is in the most obvious and natural sense. As such, we have to read it as literature. And when we do, we have to pay close attention to form, figurative language, and fantasy imagery. So first, in order to interpret the Bible literally, we have to pay special attention to what is known as form or genre. In other words, to interpret the Bible's literature, we have to consider the kind of literature that we are interpreting. Just as a legal brief differs in form from a prophetic oracle, so too, there's a difference in genre between Leviticus and Revelation. This is particularly important when considering writings that are difficult to categorize. Writings such as Genesis, which is largely a historical narrative interlaced with symbolism and repetitive poetic structure, Because if Genesis were reduced to an allegory conveying merely abstract ideas about temptation, sin, and redemption that was devoid of any correlation with actual events in history, the very foundation of Christianity would be destroyed. If the historical Adam and Eve did not eat the forbidden fruit and descend into a life of habitual sin resulting in death, well, there's no need for redemption. On the other hand, if we consider Satan to be a slithering snake, we would not only misunderstand the nature of fallen angels, but we might well suppose that Jesus triumphed over the work of the devil by stepping on the head of a serpent, rather than, of course, through his passion on the cross.
Don't go away. Hank will be back with more of the Bible Answer Man in just a moment.
What do you do when you don't know the answer to a question? Research and return is Hank Hanegraaff's policy when asked a question on the Bible Answer Man that he is unsure of, something we should all practice when we are unsure of an answer. The new 2024 revised and expanded collector's edition of the Complete Bible Answer Book is a testament to the policy of research and return, as each answer has been revisited and meticulously researched to ensure the utmost of biblical and theological accuracy. To receive your copy of Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
A literalistic method of interpretation often does as much violence to the text as does a spiritualized interpretation that empties the text of objective meaning. A literal at all cost method of interpretation is particularly troublesome when it comes to books of the Bible in which visionary imagery is the governing genre. And let me give you an example. In Revelation, the Apostle John sees an apocalyptic vision in which an angel swinging a sharp sickle gathers grapes into the great winepress of the wrath of God. The blood flowing from the winepress rises as high as the horses' bridles. For 1,600 furlongs. Now, interpreting that apocalyptic energy in a woodenly literal sense inevitably leads to absurdity. Furthermore, it's crucial to recognize that Scripture, particularly apocalyptic portions of Scripture, is replete with figurative language. And that language differs from literal language in which words mean exactly what they say. Figurative language requires readers to use their imagination in order to comprehend what the author is driving at. And such imaginative leaps are actually the rule rather than the exception, because virtually every genre of literature contains metaphorical language. In fact, we might well say that figurative language is the principal means by which God communicates spiritual realities to his children. In other words, God communicates spiritual realities through earthly, empirically perceptible events, persons, and objects, which might best be described as living metaphors. A metaphor is an implied comparison that identifies a word or a phrase with something that it doesn't literally represent. Far from minimizing biblical truth, metaphors serve as magnifying glasses that identify truth we might otherwise miss. This identification creates a meaning that lies beyond a woodenly literal interpretation and thus requires an imaginative leap in order to grasp what is meant. For example, when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," obviously he was not saying that he was literally physical bread. Rather, he was metaphorically communicating that he is the essence of true life. Biblical metaphors are never to be regarded as occasions for subjective flights of fantasy. On the contrary, biblical metaphors are always objectively meaningful, authoritative, and true. Hyperbole is another figure of speech that's particularly prevalent in prophetic passages. In essence, hyperbole employs exaggeration for effect or emphasis. Now, if you step onto a scale and you say, "Oh my goodness, I weigh a ton," you're obviously not intending to say that you literally weigh 2,000 pounds. Similarly, when an NBA commentator looks at the clock and sees a minute left, and then he says something like, "There's a world of time left in the game," he is using hyperbole to communicate that in an NBA game, a lot can happen in 60 seconds. So while hyperbole is commonly used in our culture, it is ubiquitous in the Bible. This is particularly true of prophetic passages. The prophet Isaiah is a classic case in point. He used hyperbolic language when he predicted judgment on Babylon. He said, "See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. Well, to those unfamiliar with biblical language, these words might well have been taken to mean that the end of the world was at hand. In reality, Isaiah was prophesying that the Medes were about to put an end to the glories of the Babylonian Empire. As evidence, all you have to do is read the preceding verses that are packed with prophetic hyperbole. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every man's heart will melt. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. Well, even the most pedantic literalist intuitively recognizes that Isaiah was not intending to infer that all hands will literally go limp and that every heart will literally melt. And nor is he literalistically predicting that every Babylonian face will be on fire any more than John was using wooden literalism to prophesy that the two witnesses in the book of Revelation will literally emit flames of fire from their mouths. Finally, it's crucial to correctly interpret fantasy imagery in apocalyptic passages. Images like an enormous red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns, or locusts with human faces, women's hair, and lion's teeth, and a beast that resembled a leopard, but with feet like a bear and a mouth like a lion. What's distinct about these fantasy images is that they do not correspond to anything in the real world. But while fantasy images are unreal, they do provide a realistic viewpoint from which to ponder reality. Fantasy imagery, of course, is fraught with danger. That danger, however, lies not in its use, but in its abuse. In Revelation 12, the Apostle John described an enormous red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on the heads. And then he says his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Well, many Christians abuse this imagery by interpreting it in a woodenly literalistic fashion. And therefore, they miss the point of the passage. Not only would a single star, let alone a third of the stars, obliterate Earth, but dragons are the stuff of mythology, not theology. And thus the danger does not lie in the use of fantasy imagery, but in uncritically impregnating these images with unbiblical notions. While the scriptures must indeed be read as literature, you and I must ever be mindful that the Bible is also far more than literature. The scriptures are uniquely inspired by the Spirit. You know, Peter put it memorably. He said, "No prophecy of scripture comes by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So we must therefore pray fervently that the Spirit who inspired the Scriptures illumines our minds to what is in the text. Again, the Complete Bible Answer Book, I mean, this is a treasure chest for me in many ways. I go back and refer to it oftentimes. I don't have an infallible memory, and so many times I have to go back and refresh my memory when I'm looking for an answer to a question. And maybe you're going to get a question from a family member or a friend, someone within your sphere of influence, and you just don't know how to answer that question. Well, perhaps you will find the answer in this treasure chest. Again, it's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And I want to thank you for all the very generous comments that people are making on the Hank Unplugged podcast. I don't think it's because of me. I think it's because of the great guests that I have on the podcast. But also, I hope you enjoy the teaching part of Hank Unplugged. It's so important to have proper spiritual input. You know, if you have well-balanced meals, you'll develop well physically. And what we need physically, we also need spiritually. So please pick up a copy and get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. Make sure that you're involved in a healthy, well-balanced church where you can receive the sacraments that transform you from one grace to another. The liturgical, sacramental nature of the church is so important and often is neglected in this time-space continuum. Thanks for tuning in once again to Hank Unplugged. Look forward to seeing you next time with another podcast. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To listen to this Hank Unplugged podcast in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. If you'd like to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute in the battle for life and truth, just call our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at CRI, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.